talk about the coming of Jesus Christ. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now let's start with the first coming of Jesus. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1, and we begin to read from verse 26. And here we are going to see God's way, how God did it at the first. And we're going to see the parallel between what God did at first and what He is doing now. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, we begin with. And we are going down to verse 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. We see a certain divine order here. A certain divine order. We see the angel of God not permitted to carry the seed of Christ to the woman. We see God will never permit the angel to overshadow his bride and to give the seed of life to the bride. The angel means messenger. Therefore, the messenger that God sent only carries the seed of the word. And the seed of the word brought forth faith in the woman so that she could receive the seed of the Christ. Are you with me? Now, the ministry of today that is preaching the word, of which I am a part, we are in the place of the angel, for we are also messengers. Amen? But we don't carry the seed of the Christ to inseminate the bride. God, the bride of Christ, is not the bride of the ministry. Therefore, there are some preaching bridegroom ministry which is wrong. Now, I want to straighten that out before I go any further. So, it is not the minister that is going to put Christ in you. But if you get Christ in your soul, nature, it must be Christ. It must be God. It must be the Holy Ghost. And this is typified by the drawing of the candlestick. Praise God. Now we've been having some lessons this evening with the candlestick. This is the candlestick. And with its three branches, and not three left. And the candlestick has, this is not good at all. These branches come away up. All of them are on a level at the top there. This is only a type of the candlestick. Now, one thing it has here, it has three seeds here. And it has a bud, and it has a flower. And that here, the seed, is the seed of life. The next stage from the seed is the bud, and the next stage is the flower, which contains the fruit. So we find that the emblem of the candlestick, or the emblem of the Holy Ghost, for the candlestick represents the Holy Ghost in the church, or the church in the Holy Ghost. And this symbol represents the Holy Ghost carrying the seed. And if you notice, the seed is three seeds. Therefore, it's showing the divine order. Amen. That is in the Holy Ghost. That he carries the seed only according to the order which God has instituted in his own way. And here we find Mary being inseminated not by the angel, but by the Holy Ghost. You know why? God said every seed must bring forth after its own kind, and Mary had to bring forth God, so she couldn't have an angel. Amen. God had to inseminate her himself. Now, this other point I'm bringing up here is slightly beside the point. But then, since God mentioned it twice in this passage, it would seem to me that it was important enough for God to mention that it was the 6th month with Elizabeth. Do you remember that? It was the 6th month with Elizabeth. Many of us keep Christmas, and we believe that Christmas is the birthday of Jesus Christ. But do you know that written right here in your Bible is the time when Jesus was born, and it's not December? I won't do your calculation for you, but you go home and calculate the 6 months that Elizabeth was pregnant, because this didn't mean it was the 6th month of the year. It meant it was the 6th month with Elizabeth. And you calculate from the time when Elizabeth was pregnant. Elizabeth got pregnant after Abiah, which was the 8th course of the priesthood. The 8th course of the priesthood. The priest has 24 courses for the year. The year starts in April. Abib, the month in which they came out of bondage in Egypt. I'm giving you a lot of puzzles, but I won't work it out for you tonight. And if you take that, you will see a time different from the time when from December, it comes around September. So if you will stop counting, we can go into it afterwards. You will find out that the Bible has in it the very correct point at which Jesus was born, the time of the year. Now, it goes on. It says that the angel began to tell her certain things. The angel preached an absolutely positive message. He never gave her one negative thought. Watch it. Watch what he did. He said, behold, verse 31. Behold, first of all, 30 says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now, God had been waiting to find a girl who found favor with him. And by the mercy of God, Mary had come up to God's standard, and God was pleased with Mary. And so, the first statement, you, God, love you. Amen. You have found favor with God. Verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Actually, the angel spoke in Hebrew, and he said, you shall call his name Yahshua. They translated it in Greek and call it Jesus, but his name was really Yahshua. Amen. That doesn't make much difference. That rose by any other name would be just as sweet. If you call him Jesus, he's just as sweet. And he's of the highest. Amen. Meaning to say, he is not going to be the son of a man, a natural man. He is going to be the son of God. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. At another time, we will take the throne of David and we will find out what God promised to give to Jesus. Now, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there shall be no. Praise God. Now, giving the throne of David and reigning over the house of Jacob forever, taking right back from that moment 2,000 years back down in our time when the kingdom of God is set up in the earth. Here, he gave her that promise. And he skipped 2,000 years to tell her the good news. Isn't that great? He wouldn't tell her about the crucifixion. He wouldn't tell her about the man of sorrow. He wouldn't tell her about Gethsemane. He just kicked that out because the word that was to be given to her was a word to bring forth life within her, and she should rejoice. Now then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? You know, the angel said, no angel will overshadow you, but the Holy Ghost will overshadow you, and planted within you will be the seed of the man-child, the seed of the Christ. Now, do you know what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say that the parallel of the first coming of Jesus Christ and his second coming is exactly parallel. That's the first coming of Jesus Christ is exactly parallel with the second coming of Jesus Christ. That God, who did this in the first, is going to do the same thing in the second, except that it will be one step higher up. The first, it was a natural woman receiving a seed to bring forth a natural child. Secondly, it will be the woman, the church, receiving the seed of Christ within her womb, which is her soul, to bring forth the Christ within you. Okay, let's turn our Bibles then to this scripture, down to Revelation chapter 12. We see Verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Some of my compatriots and theologians, they say that this picture is a picture of Mary. I'll prove to you with one scripture that it is not a picture of Mary, but it is a picture of the church. Turn to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Must shortly come to pass. Not passing. Not anything that was done already, but something which must shortly come to pass. Most things in your Bible, brethren, repeated three times. Did you know that? God does most things three times. The third time is it. Amen. And so we see that the third time is the greatest. It will bring forth the light. And so we see the coming of Jesus Christ in his first coming. And Jesus Christ in his second coming is coming forth within humanity. And then he's coming in the world. That every eye shall behold him. So you know exactly where I'm going, and I'm going to show you scriptures for every one of these. And if you can find a scripture that can defeat any of these points, I'll be very happy to be corrected. Praise God. None of us want to be wrong. It is not necessary to be wrong at this time. It's dangerous. Very dangerous for a church to be sit down waiting on a rapture. And instead of a rapture, you get tribulation. It is dangerous. We must know now where we are, and we must know what God's word is. This is the preparation that the church must undergo right now. So let us turn back to Revelation 12 and see. Now this woman is the church, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Now let us identify this heaven that they are talking about, where a dragon is. First of all, in God's invisible realm, there's no dragon up there. Is it amen? Amen. There's no devil up in God's invisible heaven, where God dwells with all his angels in purity and holiness, where there's no night, there are no sign or crying. There's no devil up there. So then, we're not talking about that heaven. Must be some other heaven. But then, we see God speaking of another heaven where he is preparing to dwell in, even the heaven of your spirit, soul, and body, where God is making a kingdom. For the kingdom of God is within you. So therefore, we see a heaven where the woman can be in pain. Remember, God said, in heaven there's no pain, nor sorrow, nor sighing, nor crying. Yet in this heaven where this woman was, there was pain, and she was travailing to bring forth something. And there was a red dragon. Now, where did this dragon come from? Where did he get those 7 heads? And where did he get those 10 horns? We know the devil only had one head. Amen. Down in Genesis, Jesus gave the woman a promise. And he said, look here. He as much as said Satan has one head, and I'm going to make your seed crush that head. Amen. But then down in Revelation now, he has 7 heads
and 10 horns.
And brethren, without much mystery, it's simple. If you go into Revelation 13, you see where he got his head. And we won't go there, I'll just tell you. We can read it sometime else. But the 7 heads and 10 horns were the 7 kings, or 7 world rulers, and 10 kingdoms, or world block of powers, that gave their power and authority and kingdom to the devil. And Satan gave them his power and his authority. So you can well see where the 7 heads and 10 horns come. And a lamb. Now you don't have to go far to know what a lamb means. A lamb is in the ear that turned into a dragon. He was a lamb, but he spake like a dragon, and he had 2 horns. And we see that this lamb is none other but a church system that is going to join with the world system. One world church, one world government. And this is the beast we are looking at here, the dragon that had 7 heads and 10 horns. And this system is going to persecute the church, the real church, the real Christians. Hallelujah. Now, some people feel bad with me when I tell you, sister or brother, if you are in a church system, if you are going on in one of these big, what you call, organized denominations, so sooner or later you'll have to get out. Sooner or later you'll have to get out. God help you that you get out before it's too late. Amen. Because this system will be going into the beast, and they will be all joining together with the world government and with the world system, and all the people of God will have to end. Amen. I'm not saying to you escape prematurely. Maybe God have you there doing something, working. But the time is short. And shortly you're going to hear the word come out from among the 9 people. And so, here we go. We find that this red dragon and his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Amen. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. First of all, let us identify this child. Who is this child? What kind of symbolic language is this that we're talking about? We are in the church is going to have a child. Let's turn our Bibles around to Daniel. And we are going to identify this child. Because it is absolutely necessary to do so. Daniel chapter 7. And we begin at verse 17. These great beasts, which are 4, are 4 kings which shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Verse 19. Then I would know the truth of the 4th beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints. Amen. The same horn The same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So the person who is going to reign and rule and possess the kingdom is the saints of the Most High, after they have been purified and come through the fire of tribulation. And this is what God is talking about, the man-child. Amen. So the man-child who is going to reign and rule are the same saints who are going to reign and rule. In other words, God doesn't have two people who are going to reign and rule. It's just one. And so, since we can identify the person who, the name of the people who are going to reign and rule, we see that the saints of the Most High is the man-child that is referred to here. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared for her. So we can see it was still tribulation time. It was tribulation time when this man-child was birthed. Now, praise God, it is all still a mystery. So let us read before we come to conclusion. Let us read something more about all this coming of Jesus, which is being talked about. Now, let's read First Thessalonians 5:2-3. You find it? 1 Thessalonians 5:2-3. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, he went on further. But ye know, ye brethren, ye are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, what was Paul saying? He was saying that to some people, the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, is going to be as a thief in the night. And they will not know when the thief would come or take them away. But that some people will know because they will be watching. And they will, to them, he won't be a thief. So they will know when the Lord comes. It's peculiar. But let us see what Jesus said about that. For the disciples asked him the very question. How is it, Lord, you're going to do it? Turn your Bibles to John. John chapter 14. And let us read verses 22 and 23. Let's read from 21 to 23 so that we can see what Jesus was talking about. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Amen. Now it is time for the brethren to ask him about that. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, that should be in parenthesis, It means that it wasn't Iscariot. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Can you understand that? It means that the Christian is going to come for Jesus. It's going to come within the Christians, and the world won't know. Only the Christians will know. It's a secret coming. Okay? Let's see if we find some more scriptures about that secret coming. We hear what, let's look at the same chapter there. Chapter 17, the same John, chapter 17, and verse 15 says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So Jesus was saying, the Christians are not going to be taken out of the world. I want you to look at that again and see if you can digest it, because these things are important. Jesus prayed to God not to take the Christians out of the world. Amen. Somebody say, oh no, Father. He was only talking Peter, Paul, James, and John and the 12. Well, let's read a little more. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Does that include you? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we can see that he means us. Oh, we feel so glad over that. Praise God. Now, let's see what Brother Paul said about it. Turn to Hebrews 9. And verses 27 and 28. Hebrews 9, verses 27 and 28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of men. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Who he's going to appear to? To them that look for him. He's not going to appear to the sinner the second time. You say, oh my, that sounds bad, because we thought Jesus was going to just come right down and, you know, everybody would see him. Amen. There is a time when they're going to see him. Now, let us read Matthew 24 and read from 14 to 30. Matthew chapter 24 and from verse 14 to verse 30. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Praise God. Now, we're not talking about the coming of Jesus when we talk about the end. Amen. Jesus will be here long before the end. And that's the time in the millennium when this gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of the grace of God which we are receiving, but the gospel of the kingdom which we just started to preach now, then we're going to have 1,000 years of it. Then will the end come, when the devil will be destroyed and everything will come to an end. Praise God. Then, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. That qualification there means that there is something peculiar about it. That's why God said, whoso readeth, let him understand. Because, you see, the holy place, Jesus had just finished passing judgment on the temple in Jerusalem. He just finished saying, that temple you see there, not one stone will be left standing on another. And he had said in the chapter before, he said, I can break down this temple and build it back again in 3 days. And the scripture said he was talking the temple of his body. So you can well see that the holy place he was talking is not a place to be built down in Jerusalem, as some of the Christians are gathering stones to go build temple down in Jerusalem. It's not there. But it is the temple of your body, and the holy place is here. When the woman at the well was making a mistake about the temple, and she said, well, the temple is in Jerusalem. Did Jesus say yes? He said no. He said, look here, woman. He said, neither in this hill you have here, in Mount Gerizim where you are here, neither in Jerusalem will men worship God, but in spirit and in truth. It means to say God was setting up a new temple in the earth, even the temple of your being, where God was to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And this is the reason why this verse says, he who readeth, let him understand. Because right here, it is not a natural thing. It's something that you have to have understanding from God to understand. Amen. Go on. Let him which is at the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Brethren, and woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Many people get so distressed over this little part of the scripture, and yet it is so plain. It's in the spirit. First of all, if you are in a housetop and destruction is coming, what kind of safety would you have by staying up on the housetop? Tell me, if they're going to destroy this place and bomb your house or something else, what kind of safety would you find by staying on a housetop? He said, let him not come down, meaning to say he's going up from the housetop. Amen. He said to the others, leave and go into the mountains, get up into the mountains when you see the abomination of desolation begin to be set up in the holy place. Get up into the mountains. Brethren, from this 15th verse, Jesus was speaking in parabolic language, because the temple he was talking about was not a natural temple. It was the human being he was talking about. And when he said get up, he didn't mean that you must run up into a natural mountain, because brethren, in some parts of this country and in some parts of the world, you wouldn't find a mountain in 500 miles. If you were in Florida, woe beyond to you, because you couldn't run up into any mountain at all. There's no mountain in Florida. No mountain in Florida, not even a little hill. Amen. You know, it's amusing to travel with people from Florida. When you travel and you start coming on toward Georgia and they start to see, they say, oh my, what a beautiful mountain. And little hill, they say, oh, what a beautiful mountain. That some of them never seen mountains in their life. Amen. So you see, this could not be natural here. Then when he speak about neither let them which in the field return back, it couldn't be natural field he's talking about. It means that those who are on the way with God don't make any turning back at all. This is not a time to turn back. No, it's a time to get up into the mountain. That's what he's trying to say. He's talking about talking about people who have made a commitment with God, people who are on the field, people who have gone out to do something for God. God is saying to you, no, 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 don't turn back now. Amen. This is what he's saying. And he's saying, those who are worthy unto them that give suck. You know, I just praise God and thank God that I don't have anything suck in my life now. Because giving suck is a type of having something onto you as a burden, sucking life from you. God Almighty is saying you must lay your burdens at the foot of the cross. Don't have anything but your giving suck. At this time, not natural children he's talking about. This is not natural children. Yes.
Yes,
someone is a child. Your
child
is at the burden? Yes. You see, some of us have a brain child. That's the sense in which it is spoken. Like you said, a man has a brain child. And some of us ministers that are preaching, we are preaching and supporting an organization behind us. We have a big thing going. And some of these brothers, I'm sorry for them when I see them carrying a big tent, hauling a tent around the country. Because I know what a tent means. A tent means an everlasting burden. If you put it up, you have to pay for it. If you use it, you have to have it. And you have to get a certain amount of offering, or else you drop in a hole with a tent. You see? Well, that is like some of the things. Some of us have big things going that we've got to support. And when I was coming here, I remember God making a covenant with me. He said, you must have only one motive in going. He said, if you have two motives, you kill one. And let it just be one motive. You see, if a man preaches the gospel and he has a motive to make a certain amount of money, he's got certain bills to pay, he's got to make a certain amount of money, then when God says, go over there to Timbuktu, where there is no money, and only two or three people he can't go. Because he's got to go where the crowds are. And you'll find some of the big evangelists, they can't go to certain places. I remember one evangelist was called, and somebody, he was asked to come to a place, and he said, the only way I can come is if you can guarantee me $150 a day. You see what I'm talking about? When you get like that, you have too much things stuck in, and you are not being in a position you can be used for God. You must be in a position where you can be sent off to Timbuktu and where there is nothing. And you live by faith and come back and give God. So this is the kind of thing I'm talking about. And some of us are not evangelists, but we have a lot given stuff. Too much. And God is begging you at this hour, brethren, I'm begging you in the name of Jesus Christ to get rid of your debt. I mean, if you can't, don't get panicked. God will work it out. But those of you who can, get rid of that. Don't go into debt at this time. It's the wrong time. And that's the most I can say to you. So, we come out a little further. But pray ye that your flight be neither, not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now, winter destroys life. Winter kills life. How would you like for this time of trouble to hit you when your heart is cold? Yes. Some of us sitting here tonight, there was a time in our lives when our hearts were cold toward God. We got cold. Circumstances battered us, beat us, and we got cold. Now, let's pray for the people who might hit such a low, amen, at a time when it's dangerous, amen. So, this is what God is saying, that the winter don't take us, that our flight be not in winter, And this couldn't be a natural winter God talking about, because if it's summer here, it's winter somewhere. It should be winter for somebody if it's in the natural. But blessed be to God Almighty, it doesn't have to be winter for anybody in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, he said, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So that means the elect will be here. Amen. The elect of God will be here. And when we think of the elect, we better remember the scriptures which speak of the elect lady. John, Brother John, writing to the elect lady of the church. You remember that scripture? 1 John? Amen. So, it's 1 John 1. 2 John 1. The elect lady, the church. Now, we won't spend much time on that. If any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or dear, believe it not. That means Christ didn't come yet. And it was tribulation. I want you to see that. Christ did not yet come, and it was tribulation. He said, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, hallelujah, he is in the desert, go not forth, behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now, here we are talking about something else. As the lightning shineth in the east of heaven, and it is seen in the west of heaven, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Why am I saying of heaven? Because I'm saying that when lightning in the natural shines in the east, it doesn't show in the west. Amen. Amen. The lightning flash in the United States here, don't tell me it shows down in Jamaica. You see, so when God put all these things in the Bible, he puts it for you to think and to realize that it is spiritual and not physical. And some things he puts there and he wants you to realize it is physical and not spiritual. Amen. But you see, if you don't think, you will just go right on. The lightning Jesus talks in here is the coming of the Son of Man, the light flash. Jesus coming, and when the light flashes in our land, every man of God, whether you be in the west side of heaven or the east side, the east side is in the mind of Christ. But if you are even in the west, you're going to feel it. Amen. Praise God. So, let's go on. As God opened the scripture to us, we rejoice in our heart. Then for wheresoever the carcass is, the carcass, what is he talking about? For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And brethren, let me tell you, as a minister, I had many times preached to my great distress that this meant the rapture, the flying away. Where the carcass is, the eagles are gathered together. Do you mean to tell me that my Bible would be calling Jesus a carcass? No. So something must be wrong here. Let us turn to Luke and see if Brother Luke can help us with a scripture here. And in Luke 17 and verse 37, maybe Brother Luke will help us. Verse 36 said, two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And the brothers didn't understand what Jesus was saying, just like we didn't understand. So they asked him, and they answered and said unto him, "We are Lord." Now that means taken here. We will never be taken to heaven. Listen what Jesus said. He said, and he said unto them, "Wheresoever the body, the dead body," that's the word in Greek, yeah, "wheresoever the carcass is, thither will the vultures be gathered together."
It's not Jesus at all, it's vultures. He said, "Wheresoever the carcass is, thither will be the where the dead people are, that's where they will be taken." That's what he's talking about. See? And so, let's see if we find it somewhere. What about, is this in another verse here somewhere in Mark or somewhere? It's not in Mark. Okay. So then, we see the situation with two grinding at the mill. Now, let's find out if there is really rapture. Because here we find in this thing here, two shall be at the mill grinding, the one shall be taken. And the Greek word used is paralambano. Paralambano means to be arrested and taken away for judgment. Now let's see, we're going to find that same word back in Matthew chapter 24. And I want you to hear how Jesus explained the word himself. And verse 37, we might as well start from 36. Going down to 41. 36 says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man." No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now somebody said, "Brother, this is, how come you telling us that 1973 is going to be a year, at the end of this year, you believe that the beast and the false prophet will be manifested? How are you telling us this when the Bible said, of the day and the hour knoweth no man?" Now you look back at that. Did you notice that Jesus, every time he said that, he said, "of the day and the hour"? He don't know the day and the hour. And he was so specific because he told us the time. He said, "When ye shall see these things come to pass, then know that it is at the very door." But at the day and the hour, we don't know. Amen. Now, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, he's going to describe the days of Noah. "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away." Who were taken away in the flood? The sinner. Amen. "So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken," paralambano, arrested for judgment. That's what the Greek said. "And the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be paralambano, and the other left." Hallelujah. Amen. The same injunction comes again. "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. And the same injunction that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. And then he went on enjoining us to be ready. You can well see here that God is wanting his people at a certain time to have their antennas up. Yeah, he wants you to have your antennas up and to be watching at a certain time. And brethren, I'm telling you, this is the time. Amen. Bless his holy name. We're going on a little more. Let's check out these scriptures I've got here. We find Acts 3, verses 20-21. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of the restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Jesus Christ will not come back here in person until all things are restored. This is what this verse says. Now, therefore, what then are we talking about of the coming of Jesus Christ in the middle of the tribulation? How come then we see here a man child will be born? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 28 and hear what Jesus said about it. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in here. His kingdom. So he has a coming in his kingdom. Yes, sir? Chapter 16, verse 28. Jesus Christ has a coming in his kingdom. And when did this happen? Because he said that it was within the lifetime of some of those who were standing there. Amen. Let me tell you freely, it was at Pentecost when Jesus came in the Holy Ghost as a seed to be planted in the heart and the soul of humanity. And since that seed was planted 2,000 years ago almost, the seed has not come forth in the full nature of Jesus Christ yet in us. And God is still waiting for the harvest. And the man Jesus will not come again until this harvest comes forth. Amen. Now, you say, well, brother, this is, we don't kind of believe that too much. Let's check on Mark 9 and 1, and we see the same thing there. So it couldn't be a mistake. Some people are going around talking about mistakes in the Bible. You know? What Mark 9:1 says. And he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Amen. Mark 9. I was reading Luke 9. It would be Luke 9, 27. All right, Mark 9 and verse 1. Somebody read it for me.
And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come as follows.
Amen. Now, you see, he was talking about the coming in the kingdom. Now, we know that he said in Luke that the kingdom of God is within you. So we won't look up that. That is, for your record, that is Luke 17, verses 20 and 21.
I see another reference here. Let me check it out. Luke 17:20 and 27, I see. Luke 17. Oh, I see. I see why I had that here. Here is a clarification of the part about the lightning. And he said, verse 22, oh, I might as well read 20 and 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So right here he identifies, here he will be coming in his kingdom, within you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. Isn't this the very thing that's happening now? You desire to see Jesus. And bless God, everybody's looking for Jesus in the natural. People want to see Jesus in the natural. And God said, don't go after anybody who tells you Jesus is around the corner, or he's in the desert, or he's in India, or anything like that. Don't believe it, he said. He said, for as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. You notice that the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. You notice the word destroyed means is here, and the other word said take them all away. It's the same quotation, yet one apostle wrote destroyed and the other apostle wrote take them all away. And we used to learn that the taking away was in rapture. So you can understand it is not. Alright. Now, we must go on, you know. You'll have to allow me to go on. Praise God. We can read now Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus is saying, husband, agape your wife. Have a love that God has for his church, for your wife. Now that is something new. That's something new. Because we thought it was filial love, family love that we're supposed to have for wives and children and family and friends. But God is saying you must have agape love, God love. And let's follow it here. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself. Now watch it now. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now what is he talking about? We see here Jesus Christ is going to present the church to himself. Now, how would you like to do that? How would you like to figure that out? We find that when Jesus comes here, he's going to have some brethren that have come forth in the fullness of the Spirit
and like him, and they are going to present the church to him. The one for the $4,000 first fruit company, which we talked about the other night, is going to be here, already come forth in the fullness and the glory of God, and they are going to present the church to Jesus as a bride presented to their master to bring forth the new nature within them. Praise God. So Christ in us is going to present the church to Jesus Christ at his coming. Now, we talk about a secret coming of Jesus within us. Let us look at the open coming when he's going to come within the world. And so we look at Acts 1:11, the angels preaching a message here. Of course, I haven't reached Thessalonians yet, you know, so don't fret. And while, verse 10, I read to get the gist of it, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, the same one, not another one, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Praise God. It means that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the man named Jesus, the Mary's son, is going to come and stand again before us, just as he was when he left here, flesh and bone man. And this is the promise. You know why? Because he said, we shall be like him. We are not going to turn off into spirits and blast off to another planet. If we leave Earth and go to another planet, then if we were changed and be like Jesus, fire couldn't burn us. Be with me now. Jesus left his clothes in the tomb. He left his natural clothes in the tomb, and when he came out, he was not naked, he was clothed. Now, if you had put fire on him with that clothes and with that body he had, do you think you could burn him? No. So therefore, God didn't have to take away the church to put fire in the world. There couldn't be that reason why we are going to be caught up, according to their doctrine. So Jesus said, don't take them out of the world, Lord. So now we take Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verses 63-64. But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye, high priest, see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. The first time he said, some of you standing here shall not see death until ye see me coming in the kingdom. That means some of them there were going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And they were going to see Jesus. But he said, now coming, is this a different coming he's talking about? He said, coming in the clouds of heaven. Exactly what the angel said. Those clouds, heavenly clouds. You know, somebody thought it was Jesus blasted off and went on and on and on and on and on until they couldn't see him anymore, and he went up into the clouds, the natural rain clouds. No. Jesus went into a spirit cloud. Amen. The clouds of heaven, meaning to say the host of heaven came down to meet him. And to our eyes it looked like a cloud. And they formed a glory cloud around him. And he disappeared into another realm. That's the picture we saw here. Not Jesus Christ going on and on and on and on and on until he disappeared into clouds. Rain clouds or any other cloud. Yes.
What did the cloud of witnesses
say? Same thing, yeah. Same thing. It's the word, the same word used for cloud of witnesses is the same word here used for cloud. You see, the cloud of witnesses is angelic beings, hallelujah, forming a cloud, or a crowd, we would call it, if it were people. But because they are spirit beings, they are a cloud. Amen. Now, we see here, therefore, that we are going to see in 2 Peter 3 and 10, there is abundant evidence that Jesus Christ is the coming back personally. So although we preach the coming of Christ within, don't let anybody deceive you that we are the only Christ that's going to be walking on earth, as I hear some preachers preaching. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and we are the body of the church, and no one of us will be Christ, but all of us together will be the body of Christ. That's how we will be Christ, because we are the body of Christ. So together we are the body of Christ, but not individual. Because the moment you become an individual, you are out of the body of Christ. Amen. So we said here, this was what, Peter? 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. 2 Peter 3 verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Brethren, what is Brother Peter talking about? Brother Peter is saying that Jesus Christ is going to come like a thief in the night in you, and when you come forth in the power of God, you are going to execute judgment upon the world through the Spirit, because you are the stone that is cut out of the mountain without hand, rolling down into Babylon and smiting the image of Babylon and crushing it. And that when these first fruit people come forth in the power of God, that the battle of Armageddon will be fought, and the earth will burn with fervent heat, because as sinners come against God's people, fire will hit them. And this is the fire that God said the two witnesses poured from their mouths. And this is the flaming sword that God is giving to his people. And this is the deliverance of the sons of God. And this is what Romans 8 was talking about when it said, the manifestation, the whole creation groaneth and waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. And then will Jesus come, when the job is done, because he's coming to reign as king. Let's read Matthew chapter 24. It's a real drill tonight, but if you just bear with me, I'll get through quickly to Matthew 24 and verse 29. Some of our brothers are preaching, that we're going to be caught up in a rapture before the tribulation. Well, let me tell you, Jesus is not coming before the tribulation, and it's right here before your eyes. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Could you want anything clearer than that? It said immediately after the tribulation, amen, that Jesus Christ will come in power and great glory. Amen. And the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. And this I see as the end of the tribulation, when the sons of God will be slain and will lie down in the street for 3.5 days. And that will be the time of darkness, real darkness, because even the saints will be afraid. And they will say, well, we were depending on these people. We thought they were the ones, just like the time of Jesus. When Jesus died and lied down in that tomb, the hearts of the saints failed them. And then shall the morning break. Amen. Praise be to God. This is the message that I see. But I can't let you go without reading Thessalonians. And I can't let you go without talking about the marriage supper. So after I get through the marriage supper and Thessalonians, then I let you go. Amen? Praise God. So, we see now the marriage of the king's son in Matthew chapter 22. Well, there is one more scripture too that I'll have to give you, so just hold on. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding feast, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Praise God. This is a symbol to us that the wedding feast is not a rapture. We were told by the rapture that you're going to be in the air 7 years, and you'll have a wedding feast with the Lord. If the wedding feast were the rapture, how would this man get in there? Would God have made a mistake and rapture him? No. But this wedding feast shows that it is right down here, and that there are people who are feeding on the word of God just as you are, but they will not allow it to change their garments. Their self-righteousness still remains. In other words, that the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins, they were identical, except for one detail, that the five wise had oil in their lamps and oil in their vessels. To explain and make a long story short, the oil in their lamps is the Spirit of God in their spirit, the Holy Ghost. And both of them had the Holy Ghost. The oil in their vessels is the soul nature, the Christ in your soul nature. Your whole nature be changed by the Spirit of Christ within you, and this is the seed of the man-child which the Holy Ghost has. Therefore, those who have the Holy Ghost and won't obey the Holy Ghost are resisting God, and they won't ever get the seed of the man-child. This is where we come in, brethren. God is calling us to a new era of obedience to the Spirit of God. You are going to survive just by obeying the Spirit of God. This other scripture now is the scripture of the seed, the scripture of the wheat and the tears. Now what place is that found? Is it in Matthew 13? Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Praise his holy name. Here again we see Jesus Christ turning upside down the preachings of men, because he says that the tares were the first ones to be taken out, and the wheat was left. The sinners were taken out in the time of Noah, and the Christians left. And so God is saying, what is going to happen is that we are going to stay on earth until the sinners and sin be destroyed from the earth, and the Christians rise in righteousness and reign and rule. This is what God is saying to us. Now, let's turn to Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, beginning with the 14th verse. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Now, we are going to be caught up in the clouds. And again, brethren, it's not the rain cloud we are going to be caught up in. Neither could we remain up into a cloud like that forever. Except God was talking that we will be lifted up into a spiritual realm where we will remain forever. Words are defeating us. Let me tell you what the Bible says here. It says we will be caught up to meet him in the air. And that word air means atmosphere. It does not mean outer space. It does not, could not, was never meant to mean that we will be blasted off from this earth and taken out into a realm beyond some other planet. This is not God's will. This is God's will that he should reign and rule in us until every foe and every authority and every power be put under his feet. That Jesus Christ will begin his reign in us, and it will end out here. He'll take us first as we give him ourselves, and then he's going to come through us and reign in the world, and all the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdoms of God and his Christ. But the reigning and the ruling will begin through us who give ourselves freely to God. Praise his holy name. You want to know something about this thing here. We find here we have three things. We find Brother Paul here talking about the living, those that are alive. Let me write alive. Those that are alive. Well, let me do it just as he did it. He said, them that sleep, Jesus, will God bring with him. Those that are asleep, what had to happen to them? Jesus will bring them. Those that are asleep, Jesus will bring them with him. All right? Good. Now, that's number one. Good. We understand who those are, don't we? Our brothers who died and are with the Lord. Amen. Now, so that is settled. And what did he say again now? He said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, which archangel is God talking about? Let's go into some details here. Which archangel is God talking about? Is it Gabriel that brought the message to Mary? I'll tell you the name of the archangel. His name is Michael. And we see it again in Revelation chapter 12. Hold on to Thessalonians and turn your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. And it says here, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels.